Let's do this. Let's bring in Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Ryan, how you been?
What's going on, Bill? Doing pretty well.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So let me ask you, the last time these two teams met, how much should we take from it, I guess is the best way to put it. I'm looking at, I said 35-20, Packers get a win. A lot of the same things are going to happen, in my opinion. It's not like you're going into a hostile environment. You're playing at a fanless Soldier Field. So I don't really, even though the Bears have played better, I still don't think the Bears are the team that many people are starting to believe they are. You know what I mean?
I mean, during this recent uptick for the Bears offense, they've played the Jaguars, they've played the Vikings, they've played the Texans and the Lions. So we're not talking about a murderer's row of defenses here. It was just a month ago, and I get that a lot can happen in a month, a lot can change in a month, especially this year, 2020. It's like every day's a month, but it's only a month. It was not that long ago, and the Packers waxed the Bears at Lambeau Field. The score was nowhere near as close, nor as indicative of what the game actually was. It was one team that was far superior than the other. And I get that the Bears didn't have Akeem Hicks, and on Sunday they'll have Akeem Hicks, and that does make a difference. But I have a hard time thinking it makes that big of a difference. The way that this Packers team is playing, it's going to be 13-3 again, most likely, just like last season. But it's a much better team than last season. So I how much do you make? I don't think that you can forget the fact that they just blew them out a month ago.
I look at the way the Packers did it last time, 163 yards in the run game between Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. Now you add into the mix A.J. Dillon. The old adage is how you only have one football, and you've got all three guys playing pretty well. Jamal Williams obviously coming back from injury, but how do you see the spread around, so to speak? I think still Aaron Jones is your cash cow, but between Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon, how do you see that working out in the backfield?
I wish I knew. I have no idea. That's going to be really fascinating, Bill, because there's only one football, and there's three of those guys that they want to get that football to. And it's, like Matt LaFleur said earlier this week, it's a good problem to have. It's a luxury because, effectively, you're always going to have a fresh running back to throw at a defense. So you don't have to you can wear on a defense and even more for four quarters when you keep – those legs fresh. I don't know how they're going to, it's going to be really interesting because they can't just put A.J. Dillon back to the back burner again after what he did last week. He's a playmaker. He makes them better. He's got to be on the field. Jamal Williams does certain things better than any of the other two. He's the best pass blocker. He's quite possibly the best receiver. He led the team in touchdown catches last year. So, It's tough. I don't know how they're going to do it, but at the end of the day, it's a really good problem to have.
With A.J. Dillon, the way he ran, tremendous. I'm glad to see him run the ball extremely well and get his opportunities. But I'm kind of pumping the brakes a little bit on the, hey, it's no big deal, get rid of Aaron Jones, get rid of Jamal Williams, you got A.J. Dillon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's certainly – saying it's no big deal would be exaggerative, no question about that. It is a big deal because if you can just allow yourself to envision what a backfield might look like with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon for an entire season, you've got a lot of lightning and thunder there. And you've got a lot of explosiveness and dynamic playmaking ability. The problem is that the cap is a big deal in the NFL, and there are things that you can absolutely do to manipulate the cap. But at the end of the day, you've got to fit under the cap. I mean, there's only so much you can do, and this is a team that spent a lot of money to retain its own from Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago, the massive deal he got, to David Bakhtiari, to Kenny Clark, and to go out and spend in the free agent market with Za'Darius Smith, with Preston Smith. At some point, the cap runs out. So, it's very much a big deal. In a perfect ideal world, you would very much want to have Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon split a backfield together. But it's tough to see, just considering that Aaron Jones is a dynamic superstar talent that on the open market is going to get top dollar because he deserves top dollar. fraction of the cost, you might be able to have A.J. Dillon and Jamal Williams back in your backfield, and that's a pretty good backfield in its own right. So it'll be interesting to see how Brian Gutekunst values that position and kind of keeping that trio together.
There is, as much as I like what Jamal Williams does and even what I saw at A.J. Dillon, there's not that extra gear, that extra intuit, that extra hop, that extra step, that extra burst. I mean, it's just, to the eyeball test, you can clearly see that Aaron Jones is a difference maker, and those guys can be, you know, really quality supporting cast. So, I understand that there's a whole monetary situation that the Packers have to work on, but to say goodbye to Aaron Jones would not be an easy pill to swallow. You know what I mean? Especially with the relationship that he's grown with Aaron Rodgers and the way he's performed and picking up blitzes and become so much better a receiver. That would be a tough pill to swallow.
There's no question. Even look at Sunday night. A.J. Dillon had a phenomenal game. He had a 30-yard touchdown on 4th and inches. He ran over the entire Tennessee Titans defense from the 5-yard line for his 2nd touchdown. I mean, it was a freakish play. I mean, he had no business getting to the end zone. He just bowled over 3-4 guys, 5 yards. And yet it was Aaron Jones who changed the game after the Titans had pulled close with that long run down the sideline. They needed a play, and he's the one that delivered it. And that's the thing that you get with Aaron Jones that you don't get with anyone else, is that at any point, whenever he touches the football, he is Barry Bonds in the box. Any pitch can go out of the yard. Any play can be a home run. That's what Aaron Jones gives you that no one else does. So that's the tough thing. But again, it's a money thing. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. Certainly there's other sacrifices that they would absolutely have to be making to do it, starting over again in the secondary. Now you can say, you know, on paper, Kevin King versus Aaron Jones, there's no question who's the better player. I mean, one's a Pro Bowler and the other is often hurt. But Kevin King's a very good corner. And if you don't have him, you are starting over at one of the game's most important positions. Again, you have Jaire Alexander and a lot of question marks. So, there's a full 30,000 foot view that they've got to make of this roster. And maybe that includes tagging Aaron Jones. By all means, he's a guy that they want back on this team. It's not going to be an easy thing to do.
Talking with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, you bring up the defensive side of the football. Savage has played extremely well. Really, you go back to like week 10 and beyond, he has been really, really solid. Jaire Alexander, we know about. Kevin King, at times he's had his issues, but for the most part, it's become one of the better secondaries in football. And I think Adrian Amos, we don't talk about him, but he's just a stabilizer. I mean, he's not dynamic. He's not great, but he's very much a stabilizer. Now you're starting to see the linebackers get in on the action. You're starting to see Rashawn Gary become a real force, not necessarily statistically, but more so getting push. Kenny Clark always has. Darius is roaming around. Do you start to get the sense that this defense, after going to Mike Pettine, saying simplify it, that all of a sudden this thing's starting to gel and maybe hit the ground running at the right time?
I don't know how you can make any other thought and formulate any other opinion after what you saw last Sunday. I think going into that game, it was very much an open question of, okay, how much of this is just the byproduct of, you know, they've looked good against the Bears until the fourth quarter. They sacked the crap out of the Eagles, but everyone's sacking the Eagles. I mean, it's a terrible offensive line, and Carson Wentz looks broken. So the fact that they had 7 sacks against the Eagles, okay, that's what they should do. They played well against Matthew Stafford and the Lions, but it's the Lions. So there was still that question of how do they pair up against a really good offense? And the Titans are nothing short of a really good offense. 31 points per game coming in. Derrick Henry, and not just Derrick Henry, because they got Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, Johnny Smith, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, they got playmakers on that offense. And for them to hold them to 14 points, and really they were one very well-designed and executed fake from Ryan Tannehill away from just 7 points, because that play, the design of that play, the execution of that play was flawless. Those things are going to happen. The fact that they played that well against the Titans, I don't think that you can look at this defense as anything else other than late in the season. It's coming into its own. It's much better than it was 2-3 months ago. There's no question about that. The pass rush is back. Darnell Savage Jr., if you invert his seasons, if he had four touchdowns in the first month of the season instead of the past month, he's a Pro Bowler. So, you know, he's coming on as a young guy, and, you know, at all levels, it's been a defense that has gotten better and better.
Before I let you go, I asked a question earlier, and this is something we'll get into a little bit more next week once kind of the playoff scenarios map out. But what team do you feel is best equipped to come into Lambeau Field once the postseason gets underway and knock the Packers off?
You know, I think it's probably either the Bucks or the Seahawks. The Bucks, because I get the whole cold weather thing for Tampa, but it's Tom Brady, and it's a good defense. And a good defense travels in the cold weather. That's one of the you know, a run game and good defense you can expect to travel even in the cold. Tom Brady, he's not scared of the cold. I mean, he's lived his entire professional life in the cold. And then I think anybody in this conference that has to go against Russell Wilson is going to find a tough out. Russell Wilson's the type of player that can just go off and ruin a season. And frankly, he almost did that in the divisional round last year. I think the Packers are a better team than the Seahawks. I think that's been established. But Russell Wilson's just one of those guys, and I know he's never won at Lambeau Field before, but he's just one of those guys who, if he has the right day, you don't want to see him. So those would be the two teams that, you know. But here's the reality as far as I see it for the Packers. They're not a fluky number one seed if they win this week. It's not a fluke. On paper, they're the best team in the conference. That's where they're going into the postseason with. It means they could lose. They lost in 2011 when they were the best team in the conference. You've seen this happen before. Doesn't mean it's a guarantee or a lock, but it's where you want to be sitting going into the postseason. You want to feel confident and comfortable that you are, in fact, the best team in the conference, and I think that they can feel that way.
Great stuff, as always. We'll talk again next week as we start to effort towards the postseason and kind of figure out who's playing who and where and when and who the next opponent's going to be for the Packers. Ryan, great stuff, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
There you go. Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. You can find him on Twitter, @ByRyanWood. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRY, to go to SchneiderJobs.com.